Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's second quarter 2015 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks, and good morning to everyone. This is the call for the results of the second quarter of 2015. As usual, in page number 3, we have the agenda for today that we will start looking in page 4 at the highlights of the quarter. And you can see that our revenue was $1,373 million, which represents an 8% increase quarter over quarter. Our adjusted EBITDA was $343 million, which is 5.4% higher than the first quarter of 2015. And our net income was $106 million, which is a 23.6% increase over last quarter. In terms of debt, the numbers are rather steady. We have a $4 billion net financial debt, which is 2.3% a little higher than last quarter. And our net financial debt to last 12 months adjusted EBITDA stood still at 3.1 times. If we go to page number 5, we can see a little more detail about the net income. And we can see that the increase of almost 8% in the revenues was basically explained by higher sales volume in all our business segments. In the case of pulp division, we had the highest increase between quarters of 10.4%, which is basically explained by the volume coming from Montes del Plata mill. The increase in cost of sales of 7% is explained basically by the increase in sales volume in all of our divisions, because we had a slight decrease in unit cost of our products. Also, you can see the same effect in a growth of 8.5% in distribution costs and administrative expenses due to higher volume of exports. In the non-operator part of the income statement, we can see that we had positive exchange rate differences of $2.6 million. This is basically due to a revaluation of the real and the Chilean peso during the quarter. That explained that slight increase. The rest of the numbers, like financial cost, are rather stable with a 6% decrease to $54 million. And we also have some reduction in the income tax of 11%. So that ends in $106 million of net income, which is 24% higher than last quarter. If we look at the sales by business segment, pulp represents 46%, panels 34.4%, sawn timber 16.4%, and forestry 2.6%, and others 0.7%. We'll move to page number 6, where we have the calculation of the adjusted EBITDA. We can see that the main explanation for the 5.4% increase is due to increase in sales volume and some improvement in unitary cost of pulp. In fact, our adjusted EBITDA for pulp division increased $31 million thanks to the good EBITDA coming from Montes del Plata. Also, if you can see in the EBITDA for panel division improved $16.2 million. In this case, thanks to good sales and good margins in the North American market. If we look at the graph with the historical EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA for company, we can see that the last say, 6 quarters has been very stable, above $310 million. And the result of the second quarter is one of the best, only comparable with the second quarter of 2013. Our EBITDA margin is around 25%, moving from a 26% margin in the first quarter of 2015. Page 7, and we look at the financial debt. We can see that the total financial debt decreased $440 million quarter over quarter, and that is basically due to the payment of a bond that was due in April, and some prepayment of loans, some loans in Arauco North America for $120 million. So that's why we see that the big decrease in total financial debt. At the same time, the cash was reduced because we paid using cash, so that's why the net debt has a slight increase of $90 million, which is about 2.4%. Also, during this quarter, we obtained some pre-export financing that we usually do to in order to finance our short-term requirement for $80 million, and that is one of the increase in debt. We can see the financial profile as of June 30, 2015. Just to remember that the only big amortization that we have in the coming future is $300 million of a bilateral loan that we have in June 2016. And that is part of the number there in the column for 2016. You can see the graph of the leverage. We had a year ago 3.7. This quarter, we maintained the 3.1 leverage that we got on the first quarter. And the reason for that is basically because this quarter we paid dividends, and that used part of the free cash flow that we were able to generate during the quarter. In third quarter, we don't have payment of dividends, so we should be continue decreasing our leverage as we generate free cash flow, positive free cash flow. Looking at page 8, we have a summary of the cash flow, and we can see that we had better collection from account receivable for 6%, some increase in payment to suppliers and personnel, and we have an increase in capital expenditures, which is basically explained by the settlement with ANDRITS that was paid in Montes del Plata of about $43 million. At that time. So that explains the part of the increase in CapEx compared to last quarter. As we also said, we paid dividends during this quarter of almost $100 million, and that is the explanation of the not being able to reduce more the net debt during this quarter. Proceeds from borrowings are mainly due to pre-export financing loans that obtained this quarter. And the repayment of borrowings, as we discussed, is the payment of the bond during April and also the repayment of the syndicated loan that we had in Arauco North America. We prepaid that because we were generating very good cash in North America and we wanted to reduce debt. So the total cash flow of the period was a negative 532 that was basically used to reduce debt. So our cash and cash equivalent for the period ended up in $512 million, coming down from almost $1 billion in 1 quarter ago. Now if we move to the business segments in page 10, we can start by looking at pulp division. As we already discussed, the pulp division sales increased 10.4%, which is basically explained by an 11.1% increase in volume of sales, which at the same time can be explained by higher sales coming from our MDP pulp in Uruguay. We had a slight price decrease in the quarter of 0.4%. That is explained by a reduction in the price of softwood and an increase in the price of hardwood during the quarter. Also, the increase in revenues is also due by increase in sales of hardwood pulp, of course, because they're coming from Montes del Plata. During the quarter, the Chinese market kept growing and pulp imports over increased 10.5% up to June 2015 compared to 2014. We reached nominal capacity of Monte Plata mill in June, and also the Valdivia mill started to produce short fiber during the quarter because of the differential in prices. At this time, the short fiber price is higher than soft wood, so we used the flexibility of that mill in order to change the fiber that we use, and we start producing short fiber during the quarter. In terms of production, you can see in the table over there that we got 937,000 tons of production, which I think probably is the record for the company, and that means that we are always almost producing at full capacity at this point, including Montes del Plata. If we look at the outlook for the market of pulp, we can say that the third quarter had a difficult start. There were clear signs of downward trends for both fibers, and we saw some price reduction even in hardwood, $10 decrease during August. And also we were experimenting decreases in prices of softwood at the same time. But as the quarter advances, we are now having better signs in terms of market, and we were able to announce increasing in prices, slight increases in prices for September in the case of softwood, a $5 increase in the Asian market. And we were also able to revert the decrease in prices for eucalyptus and announce an increase in price for eucalyptus for September of $30. So now we are quoting $675 net in eucalyptus for September in Asia. At this time, we can see that the inventory levels are quite stable, and but the spread between fibers, which we can see there in list prices at $43. If we look at net prices at this moment, we have a negative gap between fibers of $45, which is the difference between the price of $630 for softwood compared with $675 for September that we are announcing for hardwood. So this is very common to see that kind of negative differential of prices at this time of the market. But so we expect that this could revert in the future by some slight increase in prices of softwood. If we move to page 12, the panel division, here we are seeing a 4.6% increase in sales, which is explained by a 7.5% increase in volume with a 3.4% decrease in price. In terms of production, we had a good quarter with 1,372,000 cubic meters. And most of the increase in volume of sales is explained by higher sales in North America, part of the production that we do over there, and also part of the imports that we ship from Chile, especially plywood, which is a reflection of the higher production that we're seeing in Nueva Aldea in Chile. We continue to have good sales levels in our particle board products in Tenomil. In MDF products, it's a little bit different, and we are seeing some generally boost in supply in all markets, especially in Brazil. In Brazil, the weakening of the currency compared to the previous year and the supply surplus have increased export volumes from Brazil, and that has put some pressure in different markets that we export from, also from Chile. So we're seeing some Brazilian competitors in the U.S. and in Mexico, for example. We move to page 13 and look now about the outlook for the panel business. We can see that the situation in North America, in Canada and the States, is very good. PDO and MDF demand has been strong, and there is a good balance between supply and demand. And we continue to increase sales of melamine. Plywood sales in North America continue to grow with traditional customers. But we are also seeing some more competition in this business in plywood from other Chilean and some Chinese producers. In Chile, we're improving our margins and product mix, and the sales of our Besto product are in good levels. If we look at the return in dollars, they have declined a little bit, and that is explained by the depreciation of the Chilean peso during the quarter. In Brazil, we have increased the sales volume MDF, but it's still suffering from an oversupplied market. Export by our company in Brazil and other competitors have taken pressure away from the domestic market, but we are seeing that products in other markets that we export also. In particle board, the market is oversupplied and sales are a little bit sluggish. Argentina, the economy is still with the uncertainty that we have seen in many years, and now we are running production below mill capacity in some of our mills in order to cope with market demand. But sales of MDF and particle board are stable. In Mexico, demand for all products have been good and stable. Demand and supply are in balance, despite a substantial growth from imports from Brazil. And the same as in the U.S., the plywood market is also finding more competition from offshore producers. Some timber, in page 14, here we also have an increase in sales of 5.3%, and that is a combination of a slight increase in price and volume, which is... if we compare to a year ago, we have a 15% decrease. The last two quarters, we have seen a reduction in demand in our sawn timber markets. That's why you see that decrease from 1 year ago. The increase in revenues 5.3% is explained by increasing sales volume of 3%, driven by export to the Asian markets. Production is stable at about 705,000 cubic meters in the quarter. We are seeing in the markets where we compete a supply surplus from countries that have weakening currencies, and that makes more attractive the export scenario for them. In North America, the market maintains its dynamism and new construction and renovation, and translating stable market demands for our moldings. Latin America, Arauco has reached a higher market share and decided level of product mix, so things are looking good here in Latin America. We move to the outlook. You can see in the graph that the housing start has kept its upward trend, reaching 1.21 million units per year, and that is good news. The growth has not been as fast as everyone thought some time ago, but the trend is very stable, and that is good for the business. Demand volumes are strong, and prices only slightly lower, as we have more competition from abroad because of the strength of the U.S. dollar compared with other currencies. In other markets like China, South Korea, and Taiwan, and Middle East, are showing some of softening during the second quarter, both in volumes and prices. The competition is still strong in all exporting countries. And regarding Chile and the rest of South America, volumes are good. We're only seeing a slight decrease in prices in U.S. dollars because of the devaluation of the Chilean peso and some other currencies in Latin America. Central America is a small market for us, but demand remains stable. Now, going to the subsequent events in 2017, I want to tell you that we started the investment in the new effluent treatment system for the Arauco complex. This is part of the MAPA project. This is a $120 million investment of a new treatment water treatment system that will be similar to the one that we have in Nueva Aldea, that is the one shown in the picture over there. It is expected to be ready in May 2017. This is a stage of the MAPA mill that we have to do anyway in the Arauco complex in order to upgrade the effluent system. And at this moment, it's independent of the timing of the MAPA project. Page 18, some relative news about the dissolving pulp project. The Court of Appeals of Valdivia granted a constitutional action, which is called in Chile Recurso Protección, against the Environmental Assessment Service, which is a government institution that granted the environmental permit for the project. And this Constitution Act was in favor of some communities that were arguing that there were some formalities that were not done during the process of granting the permit. And this constitutional action is against the Environmental Assessment Service. So this is delaying the different approval of the project. But anyway, we are appealing to the Supreme Court, and the case is currently under review. We believe that the environmental impact assessment was carried out by the authorities in full compliance with the legal standard. And so at this time, Arauco and also the Environmental Assessment Service is appealing to the Supreme Court, and we have to wait now to see what the Supreme Court has to do to say about this before announcing the start of the investment in the dissolving pulp project in Valdivia. Okay, this is what I had in my presentation. It's a little bit short this time, but I want to open for questions. Is there anyone in the room has any questions to us? Thanks.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. The first question comes from Carlos de Alba with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I have a few questions. The first one is on leverage. You remain at 3.1 times net debt to EBITDA, and I understand that the payment of dividends during the quarter sort of drove that, but it still remains high. Most of the capex, at least for Monte del Plata, is done, and the plant is ramping up. How do you see this number, this leverage ratio, in the next few quarters, and what is the expectation or the target that management has for the company going forward? And second question would be on the MAPA project. The company started with the investment in the new treatment plant. Does this mean that the probability of MAPA going ahead has increased? Can you comment on the timing and where is the company on the final decision on MAPA? And then finally, if there is any color that you can provide as to how customers have reacted to the September price hike that was announced by the company in recent days. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Carlos. Well, regarding the leverage, yes, well, our expectation is to continue decreasing, and we expect to be below 3 times at the end of the year, probably around 2.8 times. We are going to be able to generate positive free cash flow the next 2 quarters, we think. And the only reason that we stood in 3.1 is because of the institutional dividends. In reality, it was like 3.06. I mean, it was almost 3 times, but the rounding gave us 3.1. But we expect to go below 3 times at the end of the year. And our target is to be around, let's say, 2.5 times. I mean, between 3 or 2.5 in the medium term. So I think we're gonna get there, and also because of the delays in the project of dissolving pulp and also MAPA, I think that will be easier to get to those levels. The MAPA project is in the more or less the same stage that the dissolving pulp is right now. We had this more or less the same thing. We got the environmental approval about a year ago. Then there was an appeal from some communities. We went to Supreme Court. We won in the Supreme Court, and then they started another appeal in the Environmental Service, and we are waiting to see what happens with that appeal. And we're not going to start with the main investments of the project, especially buying the equipment, until we have a definite approval, environmental approval. The reason that we started with the water treatment and the Arauco complex is that that was an investment that we were going to do anyway. We were committed to improve the effluent system in the Arauco project, and since we think that we are going to do MAPA anyway, it's going to take probably longer, but we're going to do it. We thought that it was a good decision to start building that environmental upgrade to the Arauco complex. And the last question regarding the September price, I don't have information at this moment of what has been the reaction of the customer, so I cannot tell you now because we just announced the price increase. And what I've heard is that other producers are also announcing increase also for softwood. And so I think the mood is good. But we have to wait a little bit to see if we are able to get all the volumes at these prices.
Great, thank you. Just a follow up, if I may, the spread between fibers clearly has gone way below the historical average, and it has prompted even you guys to make the switch from long fiber to short fiber in the Valdivia mill. What are the company's views or your views regarding the spread going forward? Do you expect these levels to remain for the next few quarters before they start to normalize, or are you seeing a big trend of switching from long to short, and therefore the spread should reverse in the next few months?
I think that this is not normal, and if you look at average, probably the gap has been positive $70, and so I think this could be only temporarily, and I will expect that customers will start using more long fiber, but they normally like more long fiber, but it's more expensive, so I think that we're going to see some substitution, and that will help an increase in softwood. I don't know if that will come with a reduction in hardwood. I don't know, because the market is quite strong at this time. But we'll see. I think that this is going to be short term. I don't expect this to remain for very long, this negative $45. But I cannot assure it's going to be one quarter, two quarters.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Sebastian Ramirez with BTG Pactual. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I have two questions. One mainly regarding the good performance that you had in your panels division. I want to understand in a better way what were the main drivers for those for the increase in EBITDA contribution for that the part of the company. I mean, doing the calculations for your Analysis Racional, it's possible to see that you're running something close to 18% EBITDA margin, which is quite high in comparison to the first quarter. So that's the first question. And the second one is regarding cash cost in the pulp division, especially your good cost that has been falling, that fall dramatically during this second quarter, 20% year-on-year, even considering the increase in production. So I wanted to understand what were the main drivers there, what was the difference this quarter in comparison to the rest, and if this current level is something that we could expect for going forward.
The good results in panel division, I think that's a mix of stories. I think probably the one of the explanations is increasing volume. That is also explained by plywood and coming from Chile or mill. And also, basically, the USA. Because in the North America has been good margins, good volumes, and very good results. We have been breaking records in EBITDA every month coming from the States, and that helps the panel markets, and that helps offset some not so good results, like in Brazil, for example, where the market is a little bit softer. So that will say that explains probably the 18% is a more mix of plywood, which has a higher EBITDA margin and also higher margins in the U.S. And now regarding the cash cost, one of the effects in the reduction of the cash cost is the wood, and that is explained by better cost of productions because of depreciation of the Chilean peso in Chile, and also the decrease in fuel prices. We have it's more intensive in labor, and also in the use of oil. All of subcontractors, they use a lot of the trucks movements and all the machinery doing the harvesting and planting. So that the effect of the low oil price and the depreciation of the Chilean peso has helped us decrease the cost of wood, and that is helping the our cash cost of production.
Perfect, perfect. And one quick follow-up question is that one of your divisions, the forestry products, when we look at that division, usually has a lot of volatility in terms of margins, but this quarter was materially lower than what we were observing in the last, I don't know, five quarters in a row. So I wanted to understand what was happening over there.
You mean the forestry division that sells to third parties?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's because it's a very small volume that we sell to third parties, and that's why we see more volatility in results and margin from that. But it's a very small percentage of our sales, because most of our sales of forestry are integrated.
I see. And are you expecting any other forest sales as you did in fourth quarter last year, or we should see this around $40 million in net income per quarter should be the sustainable level? Or
no, we're not expecting any other sales like we did last year this time. I mean, I cannot assure you that we could do something at the end of the year, but at this moment we're not planning anything. It was just one opportunistic sale that we did last year.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press *1 on your touch-tone phone. Please hold again while we poll for questions. As we have no further questions, this concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks.
Well, thanks everyone for attending this call. We will meet again for the third quarter results probably mid-November. And in the meantime, if you have any other follow-up questions, send us an email or call our investor relations team here in Santiago. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time and have a nice day.